Sunday evenings, we've been going through the book of Ezekiel together, and today we'll spend the entire day together in the book of Ezekiel here in chapter number 17. As Ezekiel is ministering, it's just for those of us who haven't been here as much on Sunday night, just kind of a broad overview of where Ezekiel is ministering. Ezekiel is ministering to a group of Israelites who have been exiled. Israel had been brought into the promised land. The Lord had given her kings, had given her her greatest king, David. But as time went on, Israel continuously, through her kings, rebelled against the Lord. To the point where the Lord took his people, as he had promised, and sent them into exile. He had done this, particularly in the southern two tribes, through the nation of Babylon. And already, earlier, Nebuchadnezzar had come to Jerusalem and had deported much of the population in a first siege. Part of that group of people who were deported was a man named Daniel, who we have in God's word. Ezekiel is ministering to a second group of people who have been exiled from Jerusalem from a second siege. And Ezekiel is part of a group of people that Nebuchadnezzar again came to Jerusalem and again seized her and brought her back into submission. And Ezekiel was with a group of people that the Lord took into exile by the Kabar Canal, took them from Jerusalem all the way, thousands of miles away, to another place far away. And even as the Lord did this, the Israelites themselves, who are with Ezekiel there by the Kabar Canal, long for Israel to be what it once was under King David. They're looking for anything that would give them some sort of hope that Israel, particularly the southern two tribes of Israel, would come to a point where they would again return to Jerusalem, and the Lord would not only give them Jerusalem back again or the southern two tribes, but they were looking for the Lord to unite all of Israel together. But yet for 400 years, Israel had been in rebellion against the Lord. Yes, there had been times through their history that they had returned to the Lord through the Lord's messengers that he sent to them. Overall, Israel continually, persistently rejected God's message and God's word to them. And because of that, the Israelites have been sent into captivity once, twice. And as Ezekiel is writing his prophecies here to the people there by the Kabar Canal, he's telling them Jerusalem is going to fall yet a third time. And the Lord has been using many pictures for Israel to get them to understand how wicked they are. As we looked in chapter 16, the Lord uses some very stark language to describe how wicked and disgusting their idolatry is and why they deserve to be judged. Here in chapter number 17, the Lord has another prophecy for Ezekiel to give. It concerns the last king, as it were, there in Jerusalem that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. It's a vassal king. His name is Zedekiah. Zedekiah is the uncle of King Jehoiakim, who Nebuchadnezzar has taken away to Babylon, and he has set up Zedekiah to be king, vassal king there in Jerusalem. And yet, as we know from history, and we'll see even here this day as we read God's word, Zedekiah rebels against the Lord yet again. And our chapter this morning is a word picture, is a story about what's going to happen to Zedekiah and why it is going to happen to him. So let's read our passage together here this morning. Ezekiel chapter number 17. We're going to read the entire chapter together this morning. God's word says, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, propound a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel. Say, thus says the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings and long pinions and rich plumage of many colors came to Lebanon and took the top of the cedar tree. He broke off the topmost of its young twigs and carried it to the land of trade and set it in a city of merchants. Then he took the seed of the land and planted it in a fertile soil. He placed it beside abundant waters. He set it like a willow twig, and it sprouted and came up a low-spreading vine, and its branches turned towards him, and its roots remained where it stood. So it became a vine and produced branches and put out boughs. And there was another great eagle with great wings and much plumage. And behold, this vine bent its roots towards him and shot forth its branches towards him from the bed where it was planted, that he might water it. It had been planted on good soil by abundant waters, that it might produce branches and bear fruit and become a noble vine. Say, thus says the Lord God, will it thrive? Will he not pull up its roots and cut off its fruits so that it withers, so that all its fresh sprouting leaves wither? It will not take a strong army or many people to pull it up from its roots. Behold, it is planted. Will it thrive? Will it not utterly wither when the east wind strikes it, wither away on the bed where it is sprouted? Then the word of the Lord came to me. Say now to the rebellious house, do you not know what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem and took her king and her princes and brought with them to him to Babylon. And he took one of the royal offspring and made a covenant with him, putting him under oath, the chief men of the land he had taken away, that the kingdom might be humble and not lift itself up and keep his covenant that it might stand. But he rebelled against him by sending his ambassadors to Egypt, that they might give him horses and a large army. Will he thrive? Can one escape who does such things? Can he break the covenant and yet escape? As I live, declares the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwells, who made him king, whose oath he despised, and whose covenant with him he broke, in Babylon he shall die. Pharaoh with his mighty armies and great company will not help him in war when mounds are cast up and siege walls built to cut off many lives. He despised the oath in breaking the covenant, and behold, he gave his hand and did all these things. He shall not escape. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely it is my oath that he despised and my covenant that he broke. I will return it upon his head. I will spread my net over him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon and enter judgment with him there for the treachery he has committed against me. And all the pick of his troops shall fall by the sword, and the survivors shall be scattered to every wind. And you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take the sprig from a lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. And in the shade of its branches, every birds of all sorts will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and I make high the low tree. Dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken, I will do it. This is God's word. We like stories. From a very young age, we are given stories to teach us different truths or different things about how life is supposed to work. Some of them are about trivial things. Others of them are like the story of the boy who cried wolf, teaching us the need for honesty. These are the kind of things that we like to teach our children by presenting them with good literature that teaches them truths about life. This is what the Lord has been doing through Ezekiel for the children of Israel. He has been telling them this different stories so that they might know the truth about who he is and who they are. In our passage of scripture, we just read a story that the Lord tells the children of Israel. As the Lord says, that it is a riddle, but it is spoken in a parable. The wonderful thing about this parable is that we're not left wondering what everything means in this parable. As we go through the passage, the Lord gives the parable of these two eagles and this vine that turns itself towards the wrong eagle, as it were. The Lord makes it abundantly clear as we read through this passage of Scripture what is going on here. The great eagle there in the beginning of the passage, the Lord goes on in verse number 12 to say, this is Nebuchadnezzar. Lebanon, as we'll see in just a few moments, is a reference to Jerusalem or the Davidic dynasty. The top of the cedar is a reference to King Jehoiakim, who has now been carried away to Babylon. He was the last king to rule there in Israel. The seat of the land, as we mentioned, is King Zedekiah, this vassal king who has been set up. And this vassal king, Zedekiah, will turn his sights and his hopes not towards the one that the Lord had set over him, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, but to Egypt. The Lord is telling this entire story because he has a question for the people. His question is this, and we see it presenting itself two different times in verses number 10 through 9 and 10, and then in verse number 15. Can we boil down to this? Can a person, King Zedekiah or any person, repeatedly despise and reject the grace of God shown to them without consequence? Can a person do this? And our passage of scripture this morning gives us a resounding and emphatic answer of no. This cannot stand. Israel has been despising God's grace that he has given to her. Over and over and over again he has, as we saw in chapter 16, as the Lord describes Israel as this infant left to die, wallowing in her blood, that the Lord took and made into a mighty queen. And then the story goes on to say that she goes and takes all the wonderful things the Lord has given to her and sells herself into harlotry. Can Israel continue to do this and not face the consequences of their rejection, their despising of God's grace? The answer is no. And in our story that we read here, again, the Lord is pushing them to understand this. And even for us this morning, not just Israel, but we are born with the same sinful heart that the Israelites had. Our passage of scripture this morning teaches us that we cannot escape God's judgment. And if we realize that fact, we must not despise the grace that the Lord often bestows upon us. Even as he bestowed his grace for many, many years upon Israel, judgment has come and will come. This considers three things about the Lord's grace that we must not despise. First thing we see there in verses 1 to 6 is that God often extends mercy towards sinners. This mercy is the idea of withholding punishment. God had for many years been withholding punishment towards the Israelites, in Jerusalem in particular, and even the Davidic line. God had been long-suffering towards these sinners. He had put up with much. For over 400 years, the Lord had upheld the lineage of David. Through that lineage, again, there had been many kings, some of which had turned to the Lord at the call of the prophets. The Lord had heard their cries for repentance, but in every case, they went back into their sin again. The Lord had blessed the line of David with abundant wealth. We see this in even there in verse number 2, where it refers to the Lord, the great eagle, coming, and he came to Lebanon and took the top of the cedar. This Lebanon here is a reference to the Davidic line. Oftentimes you hear that word Lebanon, and it's not necessarily a reference to the place Lebanon, but to what Solomon had used to build his house. Great King Solomon, after King David in that Davidic line, Kings describes for us, it says, he built a house of the forest of Lebanon. Its length was 100 cubits, and its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. And it was built on four rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams on the pillars. A great, mighty house that the Lord had allowed Solomon to build, a house made of the cedars of Lebanon, the best trees that were available. The Lord had given all of these things to David's lineage. And yet they had taken all these things the Lord had given to them, all his mercy and grace that he had extended towards them, and they rejected it. But not just that, but the Lord continued to show compassion to the Israelites. We go on to read in verses 5 and 6 that the Lord, even as he took Jehoiakim, that last king, the top of the cedar tree, the last of the kings to reign there in Jerusalem, he had taken him away to Babylon. Verses 5 and 6 tell us that the Lord had taken one of his relatives, Zedekiah, and placed him upon the throne. And when he placed him there, The Lord placed him in a wonderful place. It was not a place of judgment, but it was a place that the Lord describes there in verses 5 and in verse number 6, that they were planted in fertile soil. This seed was taken and not planted in a wasteland, but planted in fertile soil and was placed beside abundant waters. The Lord does not have to show this kind of compassion to anyone in Jerusalem. And yet the Lord does this for Zedekiah. Even those words, planted by fertile soil and placed by abundant waters, do they sound familiar to you at all, those phrases? Even what King David had written, Psalm 23, where he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." This is what the Lord and his compassion towards Zedekiah was doing for him. He took him, the seed of the land, and he planted him by fertile soil. He put him by abundant waters. And verse number 6 tells us that when he did this, that Zedekiah flourished there. Truly, God has been shown mercy and extended his mercy towards Zedekiah. Rather than judging him, he gives him good things. The Lord just doesn't do this to Zedekiah. But the Lord looks on compassion on all who are without a shepherd. This is all of us. Consider even what our Savior said during his earthly ministry when he looked and he saw the great crowds. Mark records that he went ashore, Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The amazing thing about this is when it says that the Lord looked on the crowd and saw them, he had compassion on them. It was these very kind of crowds that would kill him, that wanted to kill him. And yet Jesus had compassion on them. They were without a shepherd, and he wanted to lead and to guide them. Zedekiah refused the Lord's leading and guiding. He was not saying, "The Lord is my shepherd," as David had said, "I shall not want." He was saying, "I am my own shepherd, and I will want and take whatever I want for myself," as we will see in a moment. I wonder this morning, do you despise the mercy God has shown to you? I think naturally our first inclination is to say, "Oh, no, I don't do that." Well, maybe not, but let's dig a little deeper in that this morning. When Jesus had compassion on the crowd, he gave them something. It wasn't financial blessing. It wasn't ease of life. It wasn't fame. It was his word. And yet, what did those crowds do? They despised this grace of God that he had given to them by ignoring his word. Even our passage of scripture, as we see Zedekiah, we know, as we'll see in a few moments, that Zedekiah despised God's word as well. The Lord sent a different prophet to him, Jeremiah, and he repeatedly ignored the words of God to him. See, God extends his mercy towards you by giving you his word. Let me ask you a question this morning. What do you do with it? Do you despise it? Do you regularly ignore it? Ask a question. When was the last time you lay down in the green pastures of God's word? When was the last time that you drank of the still waters of Scripture? You may have abundant life from the Lord, as Zedekiah did, even as the Lord placed him here in this position of authority under Nebuchadnezzar. But you can still despise the grace of God given in his word. Ask this morning, have you taken the other good things that the Lord has given to you and use them to despise God's gracious word towards you? Do you look at all the wonderful material blessings the Lord has given to you and say, "See, this is evidence that God's blessing me, therefore I can do what I want to do"? Friend, this is what Zedekiah was doing. God was extending mercy towards him, and rather than humbling, submitting to God's word, he despised God's mercy towards him. God is showing compassion to each and every one of us this morning. This passage is a call for us not to despise that mercy that God extends towards each and every one of us, but to hear God's word and to listen to it. And even as we listen to it, know that God is speaking to us and is calling to us and giving us the opportunity to humbly repent before him. We can't escape God's judgment. Even if at the moment we're experiencing some aspect of God's blessing, even as Zedekiah did, that does not mean God's judgment is not coming. And as God extends his mercy towards us, don't despise that mercy. But recognize it for what it is, God giving us an opportunity to humble ourselves before him. See, the reason why the Lord had placed Zedekiah in this place of giving him this blessing, making him this vine, as verse number 6 says, that produced branches and put out boughs, the reason why the Lord had placed him in this position was so that he would humble himself and not lift himself up, as verse number 14 says. Yet Hezekiah did the exact opposite. The good things that the Lord had given to Hezekiah, he took them and used them for his own desires. He rejected the opportunity to humble himself that the Lord had given to him. It's not just Zedekiah that does this, but each one of us in our sinful heart are tempted, and not just tempted, but often do the same things. When the Lord calls us, puts things in our lives that should make it easy for us to humble ourselves before him, we do the exact opposite. Rather than relying on the Savior that the Lord has provided for us, we reject that opportunity and we look for other Saviors. This is the picture of what Zedekiah is doing. Verses 1 to 6, this great eagle that we saw was Babylon that the Lord sent to take Jehoiakim and take him over to Babylon and set up Zedekiah as king. This is the one that he should follow. The Lord has said other places that Nebuchadnezzar was his instrument at this time. And yet Zedekiah instead, as we see in verses 7 and 8, instead of allowing his vine to bend towards Nebuchadnezzar and to go after where the Lord has placed him, the picture here is that instead Zedekiah turned this vine that should have been going towards Babylon. It was turning and looking towards another power, Egypt. The picture here is one that all of the Israelites would have known, and even we know. The picture here is we know that when something sprouts up, it always, its natural inclination is what? To go towards the light. And the picture that the Lord is giving of Zedekiah to the children of Israel is that he is meant to bend towards me, to bend towards my ways. And yet what Zedekiah does is against nature. He rebels against his true state, and instead of going towards the light as a plant should, he was turning and going towards something that could not provide him what he needed to be sustained. Now, why was Zedekiah doing this? Why was he doing what is obviously so foolish, what is obviously going to lead to him being, as is described here, this withered vine? Well, Zedekiah was looking to free himself from restraint. Matthew Henry describes Zedekiah in this way. He says, Zedekiah, promising himself liberty, made himself a vassal to the king of Egypt, foolishly expecting ease by changing his master. You know, he wrote several hundred years ago, I hear those words, foolishly expecting ease by changing his master, and know that that is no different in Zedekiah's day, Matthew Henry's day, and our day as well. Our sinful hearts foolishly expect if we turn away from the Lord, we will find ease there. This is what Zedekiah did. He was not happy in the place where the Lord had put him. Even though he was this vine that produced branches and boughs, in his own mind, he was not what he wanted to be. This is why we all need to hear what this passage has to say and to humble ourselves. You see, we are all these same kind of plants, looking to free ourselves from the natural laws of the universe. We are meant to like those plants, move towards the light. And yet in our sinful nature, we go the other way. We must know that in the end, it is impossible for us to continue as that low vine, even as it was for Zedekiah, to move away from the light. This is what Jesus was saying, even as he said in his earthly ministry. As we considered in John, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows after me, as that plant bends towards me, will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I'll ask you a question this morning. What kind of vine are you? Are you a vine that God has given every good gift to, and yet you are withering away there? You're trying to find security. You're trying to find meaning in life with everything except Christ. Friend, this morning, no, you were meant to bend towards Christ. And if you seek to run from him in any way, you will end in the same way Zedekiah does. What a pitiful story of Zedekiah. What a sad story. He had been given everything he needed to flourish. And yet verse number 10 says, behold, it is planted. Will it thrive? And the answer with another question, which is a rhetorical answer of no. Will it not utterly wither when the east wind strikes it? Wither away on the bed where it is sprouted? The answer is, it's going to wither away. This morning, you a vine that is connected to Christ? Are you a vine that is bending towards Christ? Or are you bending elsewhere? Know that if we bend elsewhere, if we put our trust in ourselves rather than the Lord, then we will find ourselves in the same pitiful state of Zedekiah. Friend, this morning, don't reject the opportunity that God is giving you to humble yourself. Even as we come to worship, this is part of what we do each and every week as we come to God's word, is that we are to humble ourselves under it, this ordinary means of grace that the Lord has given to us. But yet in our selfish pride, we rebel. What is rebellion ultimately? Ultimately, as human beings, rebellion is looking for anything or anyone to give you what only the Lord can give you. Zedekiah rebelled, we read in our passage, by sending his ambassadors to Egypt that they might give him horses and a large army, we read there. See, on every level, what Zedekiah is doing, trying to get himself some sort of freedom and liberty, on every level, in his sinful mind, it sounds like a good idea. But even as we read it here, and the Lord says that he looks to Egypt for mighty horses and a large army, part of what the Lord is saying here is just showing the foolishness of Zedekiah. He wants mighty horses. Well, what's Babylon known for? Babylon was known as a military conquering power, but one of the ways that it did its conquering was through sieges. It was proficient in making sieges on cities. Now, horses are helpful if you're in some sort of battle that requires artillery, but how helpful are horses when you're stuck inside a city? They're of no use at all. But this is what Zedekiah thinks he needs. Yet the reality is, as the city is sieged, those very horses that he thinks are going to help him escape the city are only going to be there to provide meat for them until there is no horses left and they starve. What a picture of our rebellion against the Lord. We will look to anything or anyone else or any other circumstance in our lives, just something change rather than me submitting myself to Christ. Lord, get me out of this bad relationship that I'm in. That's what I need. Lord, take away this financial burden that I have. Lord, this is what I need. Lord, put me in a different job. Lord, do all of these different things. This is what Zedekiah was doing. Friend, this is nothing more than rebellion against the Lord. Rather, what we should be doing is what the Lord called Zedekiah to do, to repent, to obey God's words. Friend, this morning, there will be no thriving for you if you look for liberty outside of Christ. You may think what you need, what's choking out the joy of your life, is you need to have somebody removed from your life, or you need to be given some financial blessing, or just you need to be in a different career. But none of those will cause you to thrive the way the Lord intends for you to thrive. We must submit to Him. This is what the Apostle Paul was saying in Romans. Yet those who are truly thankful to the Lord are the ones who say, "Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves to righteousness." See, those slaves to righteousness are the ones who thrive. Are you a slave to righteousness this morning? Are you following Christ this morning? Or are you despising the grace that the Lord is bestowing on you, even by being under the preaching of His word this morning, and you are withering away? Don't do that, friend, this morning. Submit to Christ. The Lord gives a final warning in this passage of Scripture for Zedekiah and for us. And that is this: while the Lord has been extending mercy towards Zedekiah, and the Lord has given Zedekiah an opportunity to humble himself before him, the Lord is still going to ultimately bring his judgment. Because God always keeps his word to sinners. Verses 16 down to verse number 24, we see this. We see Zedekiah again as the Lord speaks. Look at there at verse number 16. The Lord says, "As I live, declares the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwells who made him king, whose oath he despised, whose covenant he broke, in Babylon he shall die." Speaking of Zedekiah, because he's broken this oath that he made with King Nebuchadnezzar to be his vassal king. Verse 17 says, "Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company will not help him in war when mounds are cast up and siege walls built to cut off many lives." He, speaking of Zedekiah, despised the oath in breaking the covenant. "Behold, he gave his hand in all things and did all things. He shall not escape." And notice what the Lord says next. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely it is my oath that he despised, and my covenant that he broke. He will return it upon his head." That's what the Lord is saying here as he's telling the story to the Israelites there by the Kabar Canal. They may have been looking to Zedekiah, and no doubt even at this point, as they are thousands of miles away by the Kabar Canal, there is word trickling back to them, even at the moment that Ezekiel is saying this, that Zedekiah has rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. He has gone to the king of Egypt. And they maybe even be thinking, look, the Lord is going to restore Jerusalem to its glory. And the Lord says through Ezekiel to those by the Kabar Canal, "No, I am not." Rather, you need to know that what Zedekiah has done has not been according to my word, but rather what he has done is he has rejected my words. He didn't just despise the oath that he made with King Nebuchadnezzar. But verse number 17, the Lord says, "This is truly why you are going to be judged, Zedekiah. As I live, surely it is my oath that he despised, and my covenant that he broke, and I will return it upon his head." So the Lord had clearly warned Zedekiah of his sinfulness. One of the contemporaries of Ezekiel was Jeremiah. Ezekiel was there by the Kabar Canal. Jeremiah was ministering to the Israelites who were still left there in Jerusalem, and one of the people that he was ministering to was Zedekiah. And this is what Jeremiah had to say to Zedekiah, what the Lord was saying to Zedekiah through Jeremiah. Jeremiah 38, God's word records, "Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, then your life shall be spared, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, then this city shall be given into the hands of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand. King Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Judeans who have deserted the Chaldeans, lest I be handed over to them, and they deal cruelly with me. Jeremiah said, you shall not be given to them. Obey now the voice of the Lord in what I say to you, and it shall be well with you, and your life shall be spared. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the vision which the Lord has shown to me. Behold, all the women left in the house of the king of Judah were being cut out of the officials of the king, were being led out to the officials of the kings of Babylon and saying, you trusted your friends, your trusted friends have deceived you and prevailed against you. Now that your feet are sunk in the mud, they turn away from you. All your wives and your sons shall be laid out to the Chaldeans, and you yourself shall not escape from their hand, but shall be seized by the king of Babylon, and the city shall be burned with fire. Friend, this morning the Lord had clearly warned Zedekiah of what was going to happen if he did not submit. But did you notice Zedekiah's why he refused? Verse number 19, it says, the king said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Judeans who have deserted the Chaldeans. Thus I be handed over to them, and they deal cruelly with me. These Judeans are those who would have wanted to see Jerusalem restored to its former glory, kind of precursor to the zealots that we hear about in Jesus' day. And Zedekiah tells Jeremiah, I'm afraid of them. Here's Zedekiah's problem. He is more afraid of people than he is of the Lord keeping his word. I wonder this morning, do you believe that God will keep his word? When God says that those who are not planted by the streams of living water, in Psalm 1, those who are not planted by his word and flourish by it are like what Zedekiah is pictured here, are like the chaff driven away by the wind and lost. Do you believe that? Or are you like Zedekiah, doing everything you can to have a freedom that is not meant to be yours? This passage of scripture stands as a warning to us. This is what the Lord said to Zedekiah through Jeremiah. We see what the Lord says to the children of Israel by the Kabar Canal about Zedekiah in Ezekiel. And the writer of Chronicles records for us the end of Zedekiah. The writer of Chronicles describes Zedekiah when he says in 2 Chronicles 36, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. He did not humble himself before the prophet Jeremiah, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart, turning against the Lord, the God of Israel. All the officers of the priests and the people likewise were exceeding unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations. And they polluted the house of the Lord that he had made holy in Jerusalem. The Lord, God of their fathers, sent persistently to them his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they kept mocking his messengers, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against the people until there was no remedy. Therefore, he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or aged. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they all burned the house of God and broke down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all its palaces with fire, destroyed all of its precious vessels. He took into exile to Babylon those who had escaped from the sword, And they became servants to him and to his sons until the establishment of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land enjoyed its Sabbaths, all the days that it lay desolate, to keep Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. What a sad end. Here we have this vassal king set up, Zedekiah, who had been given everything he needed to be this fruitful bow, this fruitful vine. And yet in the end, he is destroyed and consumed. Why? The writer of 2 Chronicles gives us a commentary on his life when he says in verse number 16, as we just read there, but they kept, speaking of Zedekiah and others, mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against the people, until there was no remedy. Consider those words this morning. Again, I ask you this morning, what are you doing with God's words? What are you looking for? Are you looking for peace, for satisfaction, for joy, for meaning in life somewhere outside of Christ? Friend, if you do that, you will be just like one of these withering vines. You will go throughout life, and people will look at that person, and one of two things will happen. Either you will be happy and joyful in your rebellion, as Zedekiah was for a few moments, and die in that. Or maybe you will be one of those people that maybe some of us have seen before. You look at them, and you can just see in their eyes an emptiness, a lack of joy in life. Friend, all of these are because we refused to submit ourselves to God's gracious plans for us. So again, I ask, somebody looks at your life, do they see a vine that is withering away or one that is bearing fruit? Know this morning that if it is that vine that is withering away, God's word this morning, don't despise it. Listen to it. Know that you will not escape God's judgment, but even more importantly, know how our passage of scripture ends this morning with God's words of hope. In verses 22 to 24, we're going to look at this more in depth this evening. But as our passage ends, it draws us to look not to Zedekiah, not to any king that has been in Jerusalem, but to a coming king. Passage of the prophecy of the coming of Christ. See, what was the answer for Israel's problem? The answer ultimately to Israel's problem is that the Lord must act. Look there in verse number 22 where it says, thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from a lofty top of a cedar and will set it out. See, at the beginning of our passage, we have Nebuchadnezzar is this great eagle taking Jehoiakim to Babylon. We have Nebuchadnezzar setting up Zedekiah as this vassal king. And this passage ends with the hope that the Lord himself will take one, as we'll see tonight, Christ, and set him at the head of his people to lead them. The same God that Ezekiel has told the people earlier that he will put a new heart within them so that they will obey God's words will also be the same Lord who gives them a king that they can truly follow. Not a selfish king like Zedekiah or Jehoiakim or a host of other kings Israel has had who has followed after their own designs and desires, but a king, as we'll see this evening, that follows after the Lord and accomplishes his will. Friend, this morning, this is the gospel. The righteous king has come. Isaiah spoke of this. He spoke of God's promises years earlier than Ezekiel and Jeremiah. And he had said, thus says the Lord God, in a time of favor I have answered you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people to establish the land. Isaiah is mentioning what the Lord will do to put the children of Israel back into the land of Israel. And this is a wonderful promise that the Lord will yet fulfill. But yet there is another side to this promise that the Apostle Paul tells us about. In 2 Corinthians, Paul quotes this same passage when he appeals to the people in Corinth. He says, "We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says," and now he quotes that passage from Isaiah we just read, "In a favorable time I listened to you. In a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Friend, this morning, don't despise God's grace that he has shown to you in Christ. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Don't look at Christ and say, "That's not enough," and cast him aside and say, "I need these other things." Run to Christ. This morning, Zedekiah stands as a reminder to us that we cannot escape God's judgment. He was destroyed because he despised God's grace. This morning, we must hear this message and know that we cannot escape God's judgment, and because we can't escape it, don't despise his grace that he is bestowing on you even as you hear his word preached this morning. But rather do what the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Friend, this morning, God shows compassion to those who seek after him. May God use this passage to shake us from our lethargy, to show us the ways that we despise his grace that he so often bestows upon us. And may we seek the Lord, because now is the day of salvation. May we seek the Lord and experience his compassion, because if we do not, we will experience his judgment. Let's pray together.